just wanted to pick up on that song that we were singing this morning, We Are the Church, just to remind ourselves again, and perhaps for visitors, which I hope you won't find boring this morning, we are the church. We don't go to church, although that's what it's turned into. We go to a church building, but actually we are the church. The people together are the church. And sometimes we need to change our language. We talk about going to church, but actually if we think about we are the church, we're going to a meeting to join with the rest of the church, it changes how we think. So actually if we think about us being the church during the week, that changes our perspective, perhaps our actions, perhaps our attitudes about church. I'm just going to move this up a little bit. Our vision is to demonstrate God's kingdom in community, at home and away. So this is our overarching vision. Before we want to talk about is enjoying shared family life together, just to put it in context. So we've got some mission statements. You can see those, the summary of them up there. Giving, enjoying, impacting, cultivating. Excuse me, I'm going to burp. Not nice down the microphone, is it? Cultivating and inspiring. And really, these mission statements, they're not easy to measure, but actually what they are things that serve the vision. They act as markers in the ground. So in a year's time, we can sort of say, well, have we been doing that roughly? Is it what our flavour is as a church, or are we trying to be like another church? And I suppose it can crudely measure where we're going. We can't put a number on it. We can't say, well, how are we doing in enjoying? How do you measure enjoyment? I suppose you can make up a scale, but it's hard. So those are just markers, just to help us think about how those mission statements fit in as we talk about enjoying shared family life together. But I think there is a place that we mark out particular targets. And those, I think, can be quantifiable. So if we were talking about impacting our communities with the love of Jesus, we might say, well, in 2015, we want to see Millfield Drop-In run 5 times a week. That would be a quantifiable type of target that we could aim for. And I think we need those as well as. So there's these broad things that push us in the right direction, that gives us our thrust, our flavour, our sense of identity in SKTC, but we still need those other ones which will come about, and they will come from us as the eldership team, and they'll come from you guys as well together. So look out for those. I think if we don't aim for something and say, well, in that time or by here, we're going to meet something, even if we don't quite meet it, I think we're going to meet it more if we write it down and go for it rather than just not saying anything at all. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Okay, good. I'm not quite there yet, but you can tell me, help me. So our mission statements are really our broad thrust of where we're at. This is what we're supposed to be talking about today. Enjoying shared family life together. Growing, praying, and expecting the miraculous. And we're going to pick up sort of on the first half, and then some other guys next week, which will remain anonymous. We'll be picking up the second half of it, talking about praying and expecting the miraculous, although we will be sort of overlapping a little bit, so I hope that's okay. Try not to steal anyone else's thunder in that regard. But I've been impacted by something that somebody said. You know when God speaks to you and you think, oh, I'll put that away in the back of my mind, and then he brings it back again. It's good when the Holy Spirit does that, isn't it? But actually, the destination, although important, the journey is also important. So it's how we get there as well as where we're getting to. So it's the journey and the destination. And the journey is the process of how we get from one place to another, how we're changed, how we're shaped, how we've grown. And it's often only when we look back and we see, oh, well, that's where we were and this is how we got there. God has a knack of doing that, doesn't he? He kind of reminds you, well, do you remember? And you go, oh, yeah. And sometimes I think we need to testify a bit more about how God's taken us on journeys and look back and we've seen his glory and his hand on situations. And I'm sure Stuart and Teresa would testify to that. Also, I was thinking about school when we was doing maths, that actually you got points for the right answer, but say if you did the calculation, you did it all, thought you did it all right, and you wrote down the wrong number by an accident, sometimes you wouldn't get marks for it. So it got drummed into us that we show our working, you know. So even if you got the wrong, you wrote down the wrong answer, and but you knew how to get there, you still got marks for it. And it's a bit like that, you know, the journey of getting there. We've learnt, we've grown through it. We know how to get there, just because we couldn't show in our maths test that we got the right answer. It still shows that you've learnt. How we get there is important. And I was thinking about God's story, that God's interested in the journey, partnering with us, his people, the church. And we look at the Bible, that's his story from the beginning to the end. And we're sort of continuing that journey. And I was just thinking about sin and when sin entered. So Adam and Eve and the serpent came, sin entered the world. We needed to be redeemed. God's plan needed to come in. There was a covenant put in place. But I thought, why didn't he just bring Jesus along straight away? Why did he have to wait so many thousands of years for Jesus to come in place? And I think it's just God's character. He wants to partner with us. He's a redemptive God. He's interested in the process, in the journey of his people. And we see that through the Bible, that God's interested in the process, not just the quick fix, as it were, although God is capable of doing that, I'm sure. So it's the process as well as the destination. I'm going to hand over to Fiona. We're going to do a bit of swapping about. So Fiona, go for it.
Drew the short straw and the juggling. Wanted to say thank you, John Fudge, for stealing my entire message this morning. Thank you. Saying it far more succinctly than I will do, I'm sure. But I wasn't the first this morning with my tissues. I'm going to be focusing in on the family bit. So family. 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 Be a long morning. Sorry, family. Oh, dear. Wedding yesterday, dedication today. I think until recently, probably the last sort of 30, 40 years, Western culture used to conjure up images of two parents and two children, generally when you'd spoke about family. That's kind of a recent invention as well. Prior to that, family spoke of something quite big. And outside of Western culture, you talk about family, It doesn't mean mum, dad, kids. It means aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, people down the road, people you call an auntie that maybe you've known your entire life but actually isn't an auntie or an uncle. And for some people in our culture outside of it, the word family brings up lots of thoughts about happiness, contentment, joy, big times together, celebration, and a place where they were free to grow and develop and mature. But that isn't... the same for everyone. And for some, the word family can mean painful memories, brokenness, sorrow, place of darkness. And for some people, actually, it can speak of unfulfilled desires, hopes that don't come to fruition, that lead to despair. James has already talked about the heart of God being one that redeems. And that word just means to reclaim. And Jesus came to reclaim our relationship with the Father that was broken. And I believe that actually God wants to reclaim the word family for some people and to change its meaning. So what does it mean to be in God's family? To Galatians 3, if you've got a Bible, you can turn there, 26 and verse 7. I am going to read it, so if you don't have one, don't worry. And it's written by Paul, and he's talking, he's an overseer of the early church after Jesus died and raised again. And he'd been previously speaking about the difference between faith and works. And he goes on to say, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir are subjected to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. So what does it mean? It means that if we know Jesus, if we've asked him into our lives, if we're friends with him, asked him to forgive our sins, and recognize he died on the cross and rose again to reclaim that relationship with the Father, then we become adopted into God's family. And it doesn't matter who or what we were before we came to know him, because once we know him, we become his children. And just another verse in Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're God's children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And indeed, we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. So actually, we become children of God. And God wants many sons and daughters. That's what the Bible talks about. Many sons and daughters. And James had alluded that we hadn't deliberately planned to speak on Lily May's dedication about family and adoption. But here we are. And I don't think it's a coincidence. So when we talk about it and think about what it means to be adopted, I love that Lily May is a living picture of what that means. She now inherits a sister, a mum and dad, some extended sisters, cousins, grandparents, aunties, uncles. And, you know, was there anything magical that happened to Lily May when the judge signed the adoption order? Well, yes and no. So actually, she's still Lily May. She's still nearly four. She still doesn't always do what she's asked to do, like this morning. She still can be self-willed. She still needs some guiding and training. She's not finished her growing up. But actually, and in some ways, she'll also carry the physical resemblance of her birth family where she's from. But the magical part is that her legal ties to her birth family are now cut. And that means that no one is able to make any decisions about Lily May other than Stuart and Teresa, or without their permission. And they're the only ones who have the right to do that. And when we're adopted into God's family, it's the same for us. Our legal ties to whatever it was we were identified with before are now cut. We're now in God's family. Many sons and daughters. It's the only picture I could find on the internet with loads of babies laid down. But I love that actually there are adults around the outside, because it speaks of not just babies coming in, because that's that we need the new ones coming in, but we also need older aunties, uncles, grandparents, older brothers and sisters coming in too. And so for us, it means that actually we're meant to be a living demonstration of reclaiming of that word family. What it means to be together. And recognising that for some people, that might mean it starts with a healing of what it means to be family, or what that word can mean for them. And I also think God wants to expand what we think of family, not just one, two parents, maybe an immediate nucleus of a family, but something big and wide. Well, you may not know, when James and I were engaged, there was a lot of discussion that went on behind closed doors for a couple of months about where we were going to live, because I was part of a church in Derby, very settled, thank you very much, had a good job, enjoyed what I did, and actually I owned a house, you know, I was quite financially, well, reasonably independent. My parents may say something different, but at the time I owned my own house. And so we spent a long time talking about where we were going to be. And one weekend, I came to Folkestone and just felt like God said to me, actually, this is where you're meant to be. And so we had that discussion and felt that actually it was right for me to come down here. And over the years, there's been at least two times where James and I have thought, I wonder if we're still meant to be here. Because actually, there's a lot of churches in Folkestone, there's a lot of churches up and down the country, there's a lot of places where we could live and work. And so at least twice we've gone back and said, Lord, really, is this where you think we should be? And we've kind of stayed in that question, not for years or anything, but just a period, and then revisited with each other, well, actually, no, I think we're right, we're meant to be here, this is where we are. And actually being part of South Kent Community Church, for us, you might think is a given because of family history, and it's a good family history. But for us, it's never been a given. It's always a revisiting of the question, is this where God's called us to be? Is this where he's joined us? And because we keep coming back to this is where we're meant to be, leaving isn't a choice either. And neither is pick and mix Christianity for us. We're here, and we're here to stay, whether you like that or not, really. But it also means that this is where we feel like we work out our character, our growth, and work out what God's given us to do. And you know what? Family relationships are not easy always. They're hard. We rub up against one another. And I know from my own experience, you know, my relationships here are good, but they're not perfect, and some of them have had to be worked at, and some of them we've had to have significant conversations over the years that have got us to where we are now. But that's family. And so for me and for us, it's about digging in, digging deep, and sticking at this until God says to move on, if he ever does. And I'm fine if he says never, actually, because family is messy. It's not perfect. It's loud. It's fun. Sometimes it's painful. But I think it's actually where we give each other permission to see ourselves and each other at our worst, believing for the best in each one. This is where we're living out our journey. And this is where we're going to keep digging in, going deep, and sticking at it.
I should have got to speak for the whole thing, I think. It's all downhill now. Okay, let's just pick up where we're going. I just want to pick up on this word, enduring. Similar word, sounds a bit similar. Enduring. Do we enjoy one another, or do we endure one another? You laugh. You can't choose your friends. You can choose your friends. You can't choose your family. Oh, dear. Anyway, that point, we'll move on quickly on that one. Fiona found something on the internet, and it said, you can't choose your family, but you can choose to ignore their phone calls. I was thinking about Stuart and Teresa's answer machine. Have you ever phoned them? You have to, like, leave a... Is that still on there, is it? You have to leave your name and say who it is. And, oh, okay. But that was always interesting. Well, do they want to speak to me? No? We are joined, whether we like it or not. God has joined us. We're part of South Kent Community Church. We're part of the wider global church family. It's part of the deal when we commit our lives to God. We hopefully enjoy what we do and how we relate to one another, and that we don't do it out of a sense of duty. And if you feel like that, then we want that to change. Paul talks about family in his letters. He uses the terms brothers and sisters. He talks about how to treat old men and young women. Paul is very keen on it, and there's a lot of his letters to the churches which deal with issues of morals and relationships, and you can probably pick some of the tones up. You'd like to know what the conversations were in between those letters. I'm sure they'd be quite interesting. Probably not dissimilar from some of our conversations at church. And Sunday mornings, although they're great, 2 hours on a Sunday morning is not the only place to develop relationships. I think we think that we can stay connected and grow as a family, 2 hours on Sunday morning is not enough. I don't know about you, I just get a chance to say, hello, how are you? Sometimes I don't tell them how I really am. I don't get into it, you just say, fine, and you don't go into any depth. And that's just the way life is. So it does take work. I was picking up on this word joy again. Consider it pure joy, James says. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I was thinking, relationships can be a bit of a trial, can't they? We have to work hard at them. We have to persevere with them sometimes. And we know as a family, when we haven't spent time together, when I've done shifts or a long or weekend away, it shows in our family, in our natural family. And that manifests in all kinds of ways. Sometimes me shouting. Yes, I know, I shout. It just takes some working on, doesn't it? You need to spend time together. If you don't spend time as a family, then you're not going to grow. Church, us, SKCC, us together in family. If this isn't a safe place and a place to be vulnerable, then that needs to change. If you feel it isn't a safe place, then we need to change that culture. I was thinking about people coming up the front, perhaps on a Sunday morning, and that long walk from the back, and everyone sees you walk down. Oh, they've got something to say. And they come down, have a little chat down the front here, and then 5 minutes later they walk back again. Oh, wow, they must have got it wrong. Oh, no, they've been sent back. Oh, they've been naughty. But actually, it's about gifting. It's about family. It's about not saying, oh, they've probably got it wrong. Oh, the pastor doesn't think they need to share that. But actually, we need to perhaps change our outlook on that and go, that's really good that they came down the front. They've got something. Isn't that brave to come down the front and then brave to walk back and everyone see you walk back? I think we need to encourage each other with that a bit more. And sometimes it just isn't the right time and the person leading the meeting has to balance all that's going on and hear God. And sometimes some people are good at balancing that and drawing in what God's saying altogether. And some others aren't. So it's about gifting. So one person's weakness might be a strength in somebody else. So it's a team. I've moved on. You should have said something. Yeah, sure? Abby?
It's up to you.
Make you say it.
Yeah. That's what it's like at home. No, I've moved on. Forget it. I'm not going to say it now. Anybody seen these on the internet? Pinterest? Right, so a little story. Before the beginning of the summer, I love this. I really wanted one of these. My husband thinks it's the cheesiest thing ever. Absolutely refused to have it in the house. I said, okay. But in the run-up to the summer holidays, we weren't having the easiest time as a family. I was finding myself getting cross with the children a lot. They were bickering loads, fighting with each other. Things were escalating. It was a very messy time. And I found myself thinking, I cannot go through 6 weeks of no school, not much routine, with this in the house all the time. What can I do? And I wanted somehow for us to get back to, actually, we're a team, we're together, we're a family. So we did a little exercise like a good social worker does, got them to think up words about what they could say that would... that would describe us as a family. So I had Samantha, who's my normal sort of, I know the right answer to everything, coming up with words like patient, team, what else did we come up with? Exercise, exciting, that was good, fun. Rebecca was doodling in the corner. I had a few sort of mummy words that I definitely wanted to get in, so I got those in as well. Cooperation, listening. And then Abby came up with her words, and if you know our family, you will know that Abby is perhaps our most expressive, maybe the more emotional one in the family. And she said, tearful. And I kind of thought, well, okay. And she said, well, we can just be tearful. And actually Gary touched on it this morning, and he said, you know, we've a lot to learn from children. And I think... when I got under what she meant by it, it was like, actually, she was free to just have a bad day. It was a safe place to be tearful. School isn't always a safe place for her to be tearful. Other places, at friends' houses. But in at a house, she feels like she can just be who she's meant to be.
Yeah, sorry, I moved on before Fiona shared that. I think I'm more convinced about working in team. I was talking about giftings, about strengths and weaknesses, than ever before. And I hope I'm going to say something about Dad now. I hope that's all right. But actually, more recently, I realised he's a pastor. Actually, he's not very good at strategy, and you would say that, and that's fine. But there's other things he excels at. And if we all do the same thing, then there's going to be gaps. And it's okay, and I think that brings release. So if you know that you've got a gifting, actually doing something that's not your gifting, when there is somebody that can do it, I think we sometimes don't do that so well, and I have the pleasure of standing up there a lot of Sundays and see people, and often think there's gold in there. And how is it going to come up? And almost see gold coming to the surface, almost over people's heads. Thinking, what have they got? What haven't we seen of that person? What is there? And I suppose. Well, I had a prophetic word about having a life message. I think that was the phrase. I'm trying to work out what that is. And actually, this is something that stayed with me for a long time. Actually, wanting to see people fully released into what God has put inside them. What is Ephesians talks about, for I will take hold of that for which the Lord took hold of me. What is that God has called you to? And some of the young adults, we've been chatting about that. What is that? What's God called me to? And sometimes you have to try stuff to know that you're not good at it. But actually, I want to see more gold in South Kent Community Church. And it's there, and it just needs to bring to the surface. I'm not quite sure how to do that. But I think it is recognising that we're all not good at everything and that we need to work in team together. I've got a short video to show you. If you can play that for us, Nigel.
Well, come on.
Yeah, it's sad, believe me, missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the feminine vibe. But I could show my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the nerve. I'm afraid there's no denying I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard.
I'd be gentle as a lizard.
I'd be clever as a gizzard.
If the wizard is a wizard who will serve,
then I'm sure to get a brain,
a heart,
a home,
the knife.
Oh, we're off to see the wizard.
I know what you're thinking. What's he going to say about that? I was just remembering that they're on a journey. They start on a journey, on a road together. And actually, they get to the end and they realise that the grace gifts, their traits, their character, actually, they were already there. The Tin Man did have a heart, figuratively speaking. And sometimes we need to go on a journey. Sometimes we need others to help us identify and encourage. Actually, you are good at doing that. And all of those four characters, they went on a journey together. And actually, they supported one another. They learned from each other. They recognised strengths and weaknesses in each other. And Corinthians talks about church being like a body with different parts, different roles, diverse, interdependent, all honourable, and particularly the ones that no one sees, those gifts that aren't from the front, that go on behind closed doors. And again, I want to pick up on what Gary said about growing and mimicking what perhaps young people do, or younger people than yourselves. I think we assume that we should be looking up to older people, but actually it's about gifting, it's about maturity, not about chronological age sometimes. And I put on this T-shirt this morning. I don't think Ollie Warren's here this morning, but he's got exactly the same T-shirt as me. And I thought, well, I'm going to be like Ollie Warren, 20 years younger. It's a bit of a running joke. But I was thinking, actually, if there's something in Ollie, which is of Jesus, the character of Jesus, then there's nothing wrong in me wanting to be like Ollie in that respect. And that's probably a bit of a pride thing for all of us. Oh, well, they're younger than me, you know. How can I mimic them or be like them, the younger than me? But, as Gary said, it's not about age. We can learn from people younger than us. I'm just going to have a time check here. Okay. I'm going to wrap up quickly, kind of. So enjoying shared family life together, relationships. The gospel talks about us loving God and loving one another. And for me, probably the second one's harder than the first one. I don't know if people find that with themselves as well. But it's a double whammy, isn't it, from God? Okay, you can love me, but actually you've also got to love each other. Love your neighbour as yourself. That's a pretty hard one, isn't it? And I think there'll be a cap, a limit on how effective we are as being church, doing church, whatever that might look like for us, if we're not prepared to go deeper in our relationships with one another. There's an analogy of relationships being like a bridge. So the stronger that bridge is, the heavier the traffic it can take. So when the storms come, and if our relationships aren't strong enough, are they going to collapse or fall down? If you want to get to know somebody better, go on holiday with them, share a room, or go on a missions trip. I got to know Gary and Tim Bloomfield and Tim Gill and Vincent and others going away for 2 weeks in Africa, sharing cramped accommodations. You do get to know each other quite well. Good and bad traits. Tim Bloomfield's very ticklish, I know that. That sounds very dodgy, doesn't
it? Tell us more.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to tell you more, Rod, no. Maybe afterwards. And Fiona mentioned about relationships are messy and conflict. And conflict sounds like a negative word, but actually sometimes we need to have conflict. We need to have conversations. It's better to have them out and talk about it than just burying them away. And we've had, I guess, conflict with relationships with people. But actually, because of bringing that to a head and dealing with it, it's releasing. It's probably the most releasing thing in the whole world. And the freedom that that brings. And if you've got stuff like that, I recommend doing it. It does bring freedom. Do we need to get any of our relationships in order? And do we underestimate how important depth of relationship is? There's a program called Boston Legal. Anyone watched it? Yes. This is a conversation that two of the lawyers were having about work and friendship, and sort of one having the realisation that they put work first. He says, friendships are a little like backyard gardens. We plan to tend to them, we just always seem to put it off till the next week. And I remember also Chris Richards speaking to the ladies on friendship and having friends. That MP3 is online on the church website. It wasn't just for women, it was for men as well. It's a great message. It's worth listening to it if you haven't. But we need friends. We need to spend time developing them and keeping them strong. And the early church, in Acts, it talks about they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. And I was reminded of a few occasions that we've had people round for dinner or we've gone round somebody else's house, and then unexpectedly, we've had bread and wine on the table. Either somebody's suddenly thought of doing it, or they planned to do it. And for me, those were sort of landmark moments in my life. I thought, this is amazing. I haven't done it like this before, and because I just assumed we did it in church. And that's what you do. But actually, around a meal, in fellowship with one another, if you haven't tried it, that's a good way of deepening relationships. Why don't you surprise somebody when they come around for dinner on a Sunday, bring out the bread and wine, see what happens. The girls, when we're on holiday, or on half term, we're just at home, they get to a level of expectation where we have to do something every day, like an event or go out. So, where are we going today? What are we doing today? Oh, man, we're not made of money, for goodness sake. But actually, we were trying to say, it's okay to be at home. It's going to be a home day today. It's going to be a family day today. No agenda, just being together. And sometimes, it's very subtle, we can slip into that as doing church, that we have events, we have meetings. But actually, sometimes we just need to be together. No agenda, just being together. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, don't focus on growing a church with programs. Focus on growing people with a process. We need to build up. We need to train. We need to release. And when we talk about growing, food needs to come in. Care needs to happen. Pruning may need to happen. So we can get fruit out. And that's together. We need each other. I was thinking about people who... it's probably a struggle of mine. The homeless Christian. Can you be a Christian by yourself without being joined to a church? I don't think so. I think you can try, and I think it's hard work, but actually church is God's idea. And we need to be joined. And if we're going to grow, I think part of that enjoying shared family life together, growing, praying. The growing part, I can't help think, is very related to discipleship. And there is, one of our statements is cultivating a discipleship culture. And discipleship for some people will go, oh, that sounds quite heavy. I've done that and I don't want that again. But I think we need to maybe, I don't want to steal anybody else's thunder that's going to speak on this, but change and make sure we don't put discipleship into a box where it's a certain thing. It can happen on different levels, ones and twos. It can happen in groups. But we need some way of growing together. And discipleship seems to be God's idea as well. So we may need to change our culture. Do we want to be known as the church that disciples, trains up, releases? I'm going to hand it over to Fiona. She's just going to sum up. And there may be things that the Holy Spirit's just nudged you with this morning, and you maybe want to be prayed for. But we've talked about this morning, journey being as important as the destination. Family can look messy, or is messy. I was just thinking about the miraculous part. So, growing, praying, expecting the miraculous. Actually, the first miraculous part is that we've all been joined together. Different ages, different interests, different attitudes, different walks of life. The supernatural work of God joining us together through his redemption plan, through the process of salvation, that's the starting miracle, isn't it? What a miracle that is. And then we talked about giftings together and growing in that. And then just being together with no agenda. Just being together.
I just wondered if the worship team could come back up, because we do want to... We're nearing the end for those of you whose bottoms are getting restless. But there is a couple of things we just wanted to pick up on and pray for people. And one is about this reclaiming the word family. And I'm not going to go on a lot about it, but if for whatever reason you feel like actually there's something painful in that word, then we'd like to pray for you this morning. Maybe you've also listened to what James and I have had to say and just don't really understand when we talk about a relationship with Jesus, what that means or who he is really. And if you're not ready to ask him into your life, maybe you might want to know more about it. And I know that there'd be any number of people here, perhaps somebody you came with or nearby, who would be willing to speak to you and pray for you. But also that gold that James talks about, the gold over people's heads. And maybe you feel like you're at an impasse or stagnating or just not sure anymore what God's got for you. And we'd like to pray for some release for you this morning, as well as actually just being able to take some risks. So if we could just stand, and the worship team are going to... We're going to close in worship. This is probably the official end of the meeting. So when the song is finished, feel free to then go and get tea and coffee. And if you are a visitor here, we would love for you to stay for tea and coffee, which is served right at the back. But if any one of those things have spoken to you this morning, we would like to pray for you during this song. And we will carry on praying for people even when the song finishes. So thank you for being here this morning.